So here we go. So the issue, the story tonight is this is the mitzvah of, wow, that's quite a background, Dan. Is the story of Netaravai, and Netaravai is the fourth year fruit. So if we look at the pasuk tells us that fourth year fruit are supposed to be brought to Yerushalayim. And the way it used to work was, is that if you cannot bring it to Yerushalayim, you used to be podeh, you used to redeem it for money, and that money was then brought to Yerushalayim. That is the way it seems to work according to the Torah. Now, there's a couple of challenges with doing that bizman hazeh. But I had a little trouble understanding why it should be such a challenge to do bizman hazeh, meaning, why not? Why can't we still bring things to Yerushalayim? So I was having trouble with that question. And then the other question is, how does it apply in Chutz La'aretz? Now, these are related issues. And once I was able to sort of track down this discussion, a little bit of a lengthy discussion, but not too bad, in the Minchas Chinuch, so then I was able to then go into the Beis Yosef, sort of understand the different issues that the Beis Yosef was referring to, and then finally understand what was going on in the Shulchan Aruch. So I figured we would start together here in the Minchas Chinuch and go like this. So just again, introduction: the Sefer HaChinuch is the inside of the Sefer. The Sefer HaChinuch goes through the 613 mitzvahs according to the Rambam. It was written by a Rishon. We just aren't really sure who that Rishon was. Some attribute it to the Ra'ah, who you may have heard of. The legend is that he wrote this when he was as he was preparing one of his sons for their bar mitzvah. This is going to be a nice summary, but that's really the inside of the book, is the Sefer HaChinuch. In fact, Ad HaYom HaZeh, it's like a classic bar mitzvah gift to give the Sefer HaChinuch. The Minchas Chinuch, then, however, is almost it's sort of written as a commentary, but really goes way, way, way beyond what a commentary would be. It's really a very tight, real thick, depending on the mitzvah. Some mitzvahs are pretty thick and some are not, but on many mitzvahs he really goes into depth about various issues, and dealing with it on a level of, mostly on a level of lumdus, meaning he's not really paskening halachos so much as he's trying to analyze the different positions of the Rishonim, and just understanding what that mitzvah is, and trying to work down to the nitty-gritty details in terms of defining that mitzvah. So the Minchas Chinuch was very difficult to read in the old editions. When this new Machon Yerushalayim edition came out, it really all of a sudden brought the Sefer back to the back to the living. And it is probably, as someone, I don't remember if I quoted this in this group, but I heard somebody say recently, I forget who it was, that the Minchas Chinuch is the last Sefer that is found on, that was considered to be universal, that it's pretty much found, I wouldn't say, it's not found on every bookshelf, everybody's bookshelf, but it is pretty much, learned people across the gamut of Yiddishkeit all have a Minchas Chinuch on their bookshelf, even unlearned people have a Minchas I have my... I have my thing here.
Me too, but I can get the gist.
Okay, maybe I was on the wrong network. Let's actually try this one. This might be better. Okay, so maybe this is better. Someone said the Minchas Chinuch is the last sefer to be found across the gamut of learned Jewish people over the entire world. Meaning, even the Mishnah Berurah is not as in Hasidic circles is not so well kept. I'm not sure most Chabad people really have a Mishnah Berurah in their homes necessarily. But the Minchas Chinuch is still very, very popular from Satmar to modern Orthodox, and the entire gamut in between. So here we go. Here's the Minchas Chinuch as he works on the mitzvah of Netaravai. So on the left side of the page, right there, is the first two pages are from the Minchas Chinuch. So the left side of the page, so you see it gives headings there of Revai Bizman Hazeh. So the he quotes the Rav, he's quoting the Sefer Achinuch, but really the Rambam writes this also, and the Shulchan Aruch writes this. So he says, "Ach guf hadin shakasav Rav hamachaber de'enu noeg min ator bezman hazeh." Right, so the Sefer Achinuch essentially says, he just throws it out, not really defining it, but says, oh, the din of Netar Ravai, the mitzvah that in the fourth year fruit have to be brought to Yerushalayim, is not noheg anymore bizman hazeh. So, says the Minchas Chinuch, why? Tzarchi, in my time, lo yeh noeg. Why shouldn't it be noeg? La sovrim v'harav michlalam, the kedusha sa'aretz lo batla, ha'idna imkeim ezetam lo noeg. He says, according to those, and the Sefer Achinuch is amongst them, those who assume that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is still present, so why don't we keep Netar Ravai? Meaning, if it's based off Kedusha Sa'aretz, or even if it's not, there's a question of whether it applies outside of Israel. But if the Kedusha is still there in the land, so why should you not be Chayiv in Netar Ravai as one was? So he says, "Nihi de'ain l'chol yicholin la'ochlam b'Yerushalayim k'mo ma'aser sheni." So he suggests, well, it's because you can't eat it in Yerushalayim like ma'aser sheni. So why not? So what's ma'aser sheni? So ma'aser sheni is year 1 and year 2 and year 4 and year 5 of the Shemitah cycle. So after you take off your truma, give it to the Kohen, and your ma'aser, and you give it to the Levi, so then you take another tenth, and that has to go to Yerushalayim. It's really similar to Netar Ravai, in that you have to bring that fruit to Yerushalayim. And if it's too much to bring the fruit, so then you are poda'et, you redeem it onto a coin, you even add a little bit extra, and you bring the coin down to Yerushalayim. So he says, well, the reason is because we don't eat Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim anymore. So why should that be? So Ayin Rambam Perek Beis Mi Ma'aser Sheni. So the Rambam in Hilchos Ma'aser Sheni explains, Gabi Ma'aser Sheni, Machmas de Iskish Lebechor, the Lekim is Beach, Eino Nechal Ayin Sham. At the mitzvah of Ma'aser Sheni, there is a connection that is made to the mitzvah of Bechor. Right? The mitzvah of Bechor is that the mitzvah of Bechor needs to be brought on the Mizbeach. And if there is no Mizbeach, so then there's no Bechor. And if there's no Bechor, so then there's also no Ma'aser Sheni. I mean, the Gemara itself makes that connection in the beginning of Maseches Vachim. And he says, and therefore the Minchas Chinuch jumps in and says, ah, and if there's no Ma'aser Sheni, because there's no mitzvah of Bechor, because there's no Mizbeach, there's also not going to be a mitzvah of Netar Ravai, because there's no mitzvah of Ma'aser Sheni, because there's no mitzvah of Bechor, because there's no Mizbeach. Right, so it is a pretty far jump, but that's how he explains. Machmas de iskish lebechor, the ikum is beach inu nechal ayin sham. Mikol makom, my time inu noi kedusha, she asul ochlo ad shiyifte. He says, okay, so, but fine, there should still be kedusha, there should still be sanctity to it, and that you shouldn't be able to eat it until pidyon takes place, instead of it being maybe a din derabanan or something. So he says, v'nira li, so Bechor, we let roam until it develops a mum. Well, we on the books, we let it roam until it develops a mum. Off the books, we try to make it so that every single one has a partner, meaning we sell the animal to a guy. And if the guy owns part of it, at least part of it, I forget if he needs to own 50% or just a part of it, but as long as there's a guy partner, so that it doesn't get it's not chayiv in Bechoros. So that is the, in fact, Rav Schechter has a story he likes to say over, that back in the old days, actually, I'm not really, might still be even today, but even when I was in yeshiva, and people had cell phones, so if anybody had a shaila for Rav Schechter, you had to call the payphone. And in the mornings, he was generally in the base madrash, in the main base madrash, and in the afternoons, when I was in college, the kola learned in a different base madrash someplace. So he was in there. So he had to have both payphone numbers. And the minhag was, he used to call the payphone, and, you know, nobody would really pick up. Because who wants to pick up a payphone and like try start searching for people? But he used to call the payphone and hope that somebody would pick up. And he'd say, "I have a shayla for a Schechter," and he would come for the payphone. I remember him sitting in that payphone box for like, you know, hours at a time. So he tells the story that he one time was giving shiur and someone called the payphone and somebody picked up and says, "Hi, I need to speak to Rav Schechter." And the person said, "I'm he's giving shiur right now. you know, call back after 3 o'clock. He says, no, it's an emergency. So he said, okay, it's an emergency. So he went to get to Toller Schechter in the middle of Shir. You know, there's somebody on the phone. He needs to talk to you. He says, it's an emergency. So he goes to the phone. It's a rabbi from Kansas City saying that one of his congregants is about to have, owns a ranch and is about to have a baby. I forget if it was a donkey or another, or a regular, a different animal, the same issue. And the owner didn't realize that he has this issue of Pidyon Peter Chamor, Pidyon Bechorus, and he needs to figure out how to do a mechira to a guy now, right? Once the beep, once the cow's in labor. So Shachter said, you sell the chametz every Erev Pesach, right? He says, yeah. He says, do the same thing. And that was it. It came back to Shir. So continues the Minchas Chinuch. So v'nira li delomi bai lahatzlach. He says, not an issue according to the tzlach. Right, who is the tzlach again? The tzlach is the Noda B'Yehuda. The tzlach is the Noda B'Yehuda's commentary on the Gemara. So he has on a bunch of Gemaras. It's five volumes, but there's a few that are very prominent. Brachos, Psachim, and one or two other Mesechtas are very prominent. So the tzlach in Brachos says, the oral of his manazeb Eretz Yisrael, Einu Minator. Right? So he says that it's not a question according to the tzlach. He holds that Orla nowadays, even Orla nowadays in Eretz Yisrael is not Doraisa. Kamo Trumus U'Maisros, Lashitas HaRambam. Just like Trumus U'Maisros isn't Chayiv Doraisa anymore. Perakamos U'Trumus HaChavav. Kevin de lo Chayiv Bias Kulam Ayin Leil. Meaning, just as by Trumus Maisros, and we'll throw in Shvius, Shmita Bizman Hazeh, we assume that it's not Doraisa. Why? Because we require Bias Kulchem, we require Kol Yoshva Aleha, as the Pasuk says on the Liberty Bell. And if we don't have the Kol Yoshva Aleha, the majority of the Jewish people, whatever it is exactly that means today, so we're going to assume that's Durabanan. So not only is Shmita Durabanan, and Trumas Durabanan, and Maisros Durabanan, but it says the Nodavi Yehuda, Orla's Durabanan also. And if Orla's Durabanan, so then Netta Ravai is only an extension of Orla, so then you can assume that that's Durabanan as well. So Im Kein Linya Netta Ravai, Gam Kein Shekasuv Ki Tavo, Einu Noeg Inna. So therefore it's not Noeg today. He says, Achafili Im Nemar De Lo Katzlach, so continues the Minchas Chinuch. But even if you don't hold like the Tzlach, the Orla Noeg Be'eretz Yisrael, and Noeg, it is Noeg today, right, Mina Torah. Orla is Mikol Makom Efsher De'ein Ravai Noheg Mina Torah Bizman Hazeh. Maybe Ravai is not right. Kevin the Harambam Kasev Kamapa Mim De'iskish Ma'aser Sheni. That Netzer Ravai perhaps is very connected to Ma'aser Sheni. And Kevin the Harambam Kasev Kamapa Mim. Ma'aser Sheni Mavur B'Rambam LaHedya De'einu Noheg in the Mina Torah. That's not Noheg today. So Achar Izeh Ra'isi Batzach Sham Shekasev LaHedya Kain. And then the Minchas Chinuch adds in. He says, oh, by the way, I saw later on that the Tzlach says that same thing. That if there's no Orla, there's no Netzer Ravai. And even if there is Orla, so it could be that Netzeravai would be different, that it wouldn't be Chal. So this is a fleet Dvar of Dain Orla Noeg Idna Minatara, Gam Ravai Ainu Noeg. So continues the Minchas Chinuch and says, therefore, according to what he says, that Orla is not Noeg nowadays Minatara, Gam Ravai, so the Ravai would not be Noeg, right? Umash Akasav Rambam in Hilchos Macholos Asuras de Noeg, right? Now there is a Rambam in Macholos Asuras, because Netzeravai then has a Machalos Asuras component, right? It's not just, do I have to bring it to Yerushalayim? It's, what happens if it gets mixed in with my food, right? What happens if Netzer Ravai gets into my, well, I don't know if it would be chillin, because it's supposed to come from trees, but it gets into my apple kugel. There's a Netzer Ravai apple in my apple kugel, right? So it's going to show up in Hilchos Yerideya as well. He says, so the Rambam does record it there. It says, yeah, but that's only on the level of Durabanan anyways. Fine. Now, he says, V'cheinir milashin rabba mechaber, shemayri b'shal Torah, v'chrasa v'yishmer avasena sovrim da'afa idna chayv min ha-Torah ach b'chutz la'aretz v'achmer Durabanan. He says, however, there are those that say that, no, it is chal do'oraisa, it's just not, it's only not chal Durabanan, right? But yet, you would still go ahead and say that that it's not, you wouldn't bring it to Yerushalayim, still based off of that connection to Korban and Bechoros. That if there's no Korban, if there's no Mizbeach, and therefore no Hakravos of Bechoros, so therefore you're also not going to bring Ma'aser Sheni, and therefore you're also not going to bring Netzer Ravai. So then he continues on and says, hey, and what about in Chutz La'aretz? The Minchas Chinuch continues on and says, he says, what about, and even in Chutz La'aretz, Aval Netter Revai Eino Noeg, etc. What exactly did the Sefer Chinuch say? Right, he said that in Chutz La'aretz, Kerem Revai is Chal D'Rabbanan. What's Kerem Revai? So Netter Revai is from trees. Kerem Revai is from vines, right? Grapes. So grapes are going to be subject to Netter Revai, and fruits are not. That is the suggestion here. So why would that be? So Minchas Chinuch continues. Ki he plukta in Maseches Brachos, chad amar kerem revai, v'chad amar netter revai. Chol amekil ba'aretz, halacha kamosa b'chutz la'aretz. He said that the Gemara itself has a dispute about how whether it is continues to be applicable by netter revai or kerem revai. And he says if the din is, and any time, whenever there's a machlokas, we started talking about this last week, if there's a dispute about something in Eretz Yisrael, with regards to these halachos, we're going to be makil about it in Chutz La'aretz. So therefore, we end up paskening this way in Shulchan Aruch, that Kerem Revai is a thing, Netter Revai outside of Eretz Yisrael is not a thing. In our poskim who disagree, that's part of that discussion. Then one more paragraph, now on page 2. So what about Safek Revai B'Chutz La'aretz? Would the same halacha apply? Meaning we talked about Safek Orla in Chutz La'aretz, one has the right to be lenient. What about Safek Revai? So continues the Minchas Chinuch, says that Pashat after Orla B'Chutz La'aretz halacha l'moshe misinai, mikol makom kera revai B'Chutz La'aretz lo matzinu shei halacha l'moshe misinai, rakal osan shitos hu midrabanan. He says that even though Orla, an idea of Orla in Chutz La'aretz, is a din halacha moshe misinai, meaning that's just a rule. That's just what happens. That minchas that orla is going to be subject to that trees and chutz la'aretz are going to be subject to orla, and that's just the halacha. But you have the right to be mekel. However, kerem revai outside of Israel is not necessarily halacha l'moshe misinai. We're just going to say that it's drabanan. So v'nir li pashat, says the minchas chinuch, that kevin dechachamim hichmiru linho kerem revai b'chutz la'aretz. He says, however, if the Chachamim are going to be machmir and say you have to be strict about Kerem Revai outside of Israel, they say you don't have to be more machmir than you would by Orla. I mean, the only reason you would say that you would be that would be chayiv outside of Israel is because of the din of Orla. So therefore, it doesn't have to be more machmir than Orla. So if we're going to go with the rule that you have the right to always be lenient when it comes to Orla, so too you would have the right to be always be lenient when it comes to Netzer Revai. Okay? So that is the Minchas Chinuch I wanted to show you. Right, so he sort of sets the table here about that Netzer Revai is man hazeh, that even though, why would it be exempt? Just because there's no Mizbeach? I mean, bring it to Yerushalayim. We know where Yerushalayim is, so bring it to Yerushalayim. What's the big deal? He says, no, because it's not just about bringing it to Yerushalayim. Having a Mizbeach is ma'akev in order for the mitzvah to be done. And okay, that was piece number one. And then there's the question. No, so the Tzlach suggests that it's not, right? That's what he said. According to the Tzlach, according to the Nod Yehuda, it's not, right? That he says the whole thing is only Durabanan. But even if it was the Oraisa, you still would not be able to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there because of this connection to the Mizbeach. So because you're not going to be able to bring it, so that opens up the door for significant leniencies, as we shall see. So if we go to page 3, I believe, right, page 3 is the tour here. Yeah, so here we pick up with Vav. So here the tour says, right, uvizman habayis hayutzrichim la'losam l'Yerushalayim. When the Beis HaMikdash was standing, so he used to bring things to Yerushalayim, lo'chem sham, to eat it there, right, olif dosam la'losam apidyon sham, v'heimutar miyad achar pidyon, right, you would be podet, you would redeem it onto money, and the money you would bring to Yerushalayim, and then the fruit would be permissible to eat right away.
Wait, where are you now?
In the tour. At Vav, on page 3.
Page 3.
About 5 lines from the bottom.
Okay.
Achar Pinyon, right? Ula Achar, and then after the 15th of the next year, it would be considered to be full-fledged Chulin. Va'inna continues the tour, right? She'en Yecholim La'lo, so you're not able to bring it to Yerushalayim, and there's one line of tour in the next page. Podino Sam, Achar She'igmru V'yitlashu. You would be poda it after it finishes growing, and after it comes off. That's what the tour says. So that's actually a major point that we'll get to shortly. And then continues the tour and says, V'cholon liftos kulon b'shavapruta. And the truth is you could redeem it all for a shavapruta, even if there is a lot of it. Meaning, even if there's a lot of fruit, you could redeem it all onto a pruta, onto a couple of pennies, right? Why is that? Because you're not using the penny anyways. Meaning, when you are, when really you could be poda, meiser sheni, and all this, right, and katzeravai, you could always do it on a penny, but we're machmir and say, no, you gotta do its value, and you gotta figure out exactly what its value is, redeem that value, and go to Yerushalayim and consume that amount of food in Yerushalayim, right? That's the way we normally assume. But nowadays, where you're not bringing it to Yerushalayim anyways, so we're not going to be strict, we're not going to demand that you actually figure out the price for it, you just redeem it all onto a pruta, okay? So then what do you do with this pruta afterwards? Meaning now you have this kadosh pruta around. So says the Torah, he says you should take the pruta, grind it up, throw it into the wind, throw it into the river. What the Gemara says, you throw it into the Yam HaMelach, right? That wasn't really an option for the tour, and that's the din. And he even adds in, v'yivarech b'shas pidyon brokat Hashem l'kinu melcha v'shigashan v'savet zivano al pidyon revai. Now, the bracha is something I need to see a little bit more about. I'm not sure what this, if we that's ever really done. But revise enu chayev beleket shichon prat veolos el maaleu kulu Yerushalayim bezman habayis veidna podu kulu. He says, and whatever the revai is, it's not going to be subject to leket shichcha. Right, the if it's left behind, you don't know if the it's not subject to that because it's kadosh. Rather, it should be brought to Yerushalayim, but or unless you're a podet, if you're podet, so then you're podet. Okay, so this is the right. So vav is really about bizman hazeh. Zayin is really about chutz laretz. So with this vav, let's go back a little bit to page 3, where the Beis Yosef discusses this issue. Right. So the tour, the Beis Yosef on the bottom there says. Sheperus Ravai, Yeshalem Din Meiser Sheni L'chol Davar. Right, it was on a bias. Hayesuichem Laloson Yerushalayim. But nowadays we or to be poda then bring that. So continues the Beis Yosef. It says, yeah, the source for that is in Gemara and Kedushin that we say Karem Ravai. The pasuk says Kadosh Hilulim V'Gamar Kadosh Kadosh U'Meiser Dechsiv Bei Kadosh L'chol Meiser Aretz U'Vreish Parakeitim Avarchem. Similarly, the Kadosh Hilulim Dechsiv Benetar Ravai Hu. Lashon chilul, that you could be mechalalit. Amar Rachmana, achle v'hadar achle, kolomar tziyu l'chulin al yedei pidyon, imbatal lochul chutz Yerushalayim. That if you're going to eat outside of Yerushalayim, you need to be podet. What's that doing in the Gemara in Maseches Brachos? So that's actually the first Gemara in Perek Ketzad Mevarchim. Ketzad Mevarchim in Brachos is the Perek that deals with Brachos on food. So the very first Gemara asks, how do you know that you're supposed to make brachos on food? So this is the suggestion. Now, I think the Gemara at the end of there, it's a long Gemara that tries to bring proofs that you would make a bracha rishon on food, and ends up giving up saying, no, we don't, you're right, we don't, there's no mitzvah d'oraisa to make a bracha on food, but the suggestion was this, that you are being mechalel, that you have to be mechalel kedusha. So how are you mechalel kedusha? By making a bracha on it. That's the Gemara's suggestion. To which the Gemara rejects it by saying, "So what are you talking about? That pasuk is used for netar avai. You can't use it for brachos." So, anyways, that's that first section. Okay. So it continues on here and says, "Now ve'idna she'ein yecholim la'losan Yerushalayim." It continues on to the next page. Says the Beis Yosef, right? V'chein kasa Rambam perek tishi meilchos meiser. Right? Harotz liftos netar avai podeu b'meiser sheni ve'ein podeno so ad she'agil onos meiser. And here, and this becomes a big headache. The Rambam says you can't be poda it until it actually reaches the time when it could be subject to meiser. Shneamar lahusif lachem tivua so ad she'yase tivua ve'ein podeno so b'mechubar k'meiser sheni. So he says you can't be poda it until it is fully grown. And not only that, and you can't be poda it while it is mechubar. That is what the Rambam says. So that's a big headache, right? Because if you have a grove of netar ravai trees, so then are you saying you, and then, you know, you take off a fruit at a time, So, or, you know, you take some and then you wait for more to write, but you take off more. That means every single time you would have to be podet. So the Beis Yossi points out that that's not really the minhag, right? So, and that's what he goes and drives hard at here. So the Beis Yossi continues on and says, he says, Mashakasha ain't podet no sober mechubar, that you can't be podet while it's connected. That's actually a tosefta at the end of Maaser Sheni, where Kasar Reinu Shimshim Sham, the Tosfos Perk Meruba, Vloch Ora Nirisha Tami Shum de Gemar Kodesh Kodesh mi Maaser, Vekach Nir mi Divrei Rambam. Right? The reason he says that you can't be podet things while it's still connected to the tree, so presumably that's a lacha that's learned out from Maaser. And the truth is, much of Maseches Maaser, now, I don't know, like, because of Mishnah Yomi, I've been able to, like, now understand a little bit more about what this Zerayim is talking about. So a lot of what Maseches Maaseros is talking about is at what point is it subject to Maaseros? Meaning, at what point is it enough in the development process that it would be that you're ready to take off Maaser? So here, when it's Mechubar, you can't, right? So, however, V'kach Nir Medivei Rambam Zal. V'heim Zal Hikshu Al Zeh. But then they ask, meaning those Rishonim quote this, Tosfos, Tosefta, or based on Tosefta, the Rabbeinu Shimshon, right? And they say, wait a second. The Tam She'ein Podim B'Mechubar, Hainu Lufi She'ein B'Kiyin B'Shuma B'Odo Mechubar. He says, wait a second. The reason you can't be Poda while it's connected is not because it's not ready to be Poda, that it can't, by definition, it can't be Poda yet. Rather, the reason that we can't be Poda it is because you don't really know the value of it until it comes off the tree. Right, until you take it off the tree, you don't really know what the value of the fruit is. So therefore, how could you redeem it before knowing what its value is? He says, "Parakeitz and Mavarchim Kasev Arush, but Kerem Ravai Tzarchlif Doso Achar Ketzira." Right, Kerem Ravai would need to be cut, would be poda after it was cut off, and that's what Ravina Yonah says. "V'chazav Ov v'yeshatoim u'podim u'mechubar k'tei sheyochul lochul mehem kodem habetzir v'zeinu klum." Right, Shemepirish Mochiach Maseches Arachin Shetzarch Sheyasu Apidyon Betalush. He says, and there are some people who take it off, who are poda it before it comes off the tree, because they want to be able to eat it as soon as possible. And he says, and they're doing the wrong thing, right? As we see explicitly from this Gemara in Maseches Arachin, you really need to do the pidyon after it comes off. Fine. So that's what those Rishonim say. But then comes the Beis Yosef and says, he says, Ve'ini Yodea, Lama Kasev, Shem Tomis. I don't know why they made such a, what do you mean? What mistake were they making? It actually makes a lot of sense to be poda while it was still connected, right? The Hadar Minan de'in podin osoba mechubar suggests the Beis Yosef, that which we say that you can't be poda it while it is mechubar, hainu davka liftoso sheyachol hachilo ba'odo mechubar. That's only if you want to be poda it because you want it to be mechal while it's still connected. But, he says, but to be poda it while it's still connected, and you say explicitly that you don't want it to be chal until it comes off, that would be mutter. Okay? So that's his first jump. He says, it's not a definitional issue, because technically, right, one issue we mentioned already, that it is that you're not going to have a full and accurate assessment as to what its value is until it comes off. And the other thing it says is that you can't be poda something while it's still mechubar lekarka. So he says, the second thing, says the Beis Yosef, I'm going to solve that, right? How? By saying that when we make the declaration, we're going to declare that this pidyon is not going to be chal until it comes off So I'll solve that problem. Now, what about the value problem? So he continues on and says, no, that's not a problem either. He says, right, and that's actually a beferish mishnah in Maseches Maaser Sheni where it says ketzad podin netu ravai maniaches hasal al pishlosha umaniaches hamos veomer kol hanilkot mize mechulo al hamos ha'elu mikach lekach salim besela vafilu below shuma niftis bechai gavna deketani bahu pirka kerem ravai matzianin oso etc. That there's actually a mishnah in Maseches Maaser Sheni where the farmer goes in front of experts and says, "What is with empty buckets?" And says, "If I were to fill up these buckets, what would their value be?" And the experts can give him that value and say, "Oh, well, you know, three full buckets of grapefruits will go for whatever it is, you know, whatever amount of money." So he says, "Great. So here's that money, and now I'm going to fill up these buckets with that amount, and it's hereby poda, it's hereby redeemed onto this money." So the Mishnah seems to say that that's okay. And in fact, it goes further and says, "V'hatsenuim." He says those people that were extra scrupulous, I guess, right? Manichin es hamos, they would put money down and they would say, kula nilkat mizeh yehe mechula al hamos ha'elu. They would put down a lot of money and they would say, whatever we take is hereby mechula on this money. Vava pisha tosos rabbeinu shimshon kasuda he ditznua mishum takanahu the shari kadei shalo yichshalu harei hachinami ikal memer the hanuk the podim mechuber mishum hachi abdu hachi kadei shalo yichshalu. He says, yeah, it's true. That was in order for people to avoid them being machshil others, right? That they're sort of doing it because if the fruit gets eaten, if somebody walks onto their property and takes the fruit and eats it, so they don't want them to violate that din. In fact, this came up recently in a shiur that I heard. I think I must have been listening to it on the while running at some point. That the that how much do you have to go out of your way? I forget what the exact topic was, but it was how much do you have to go out of your way to make sure somebody else doesn't violate a halacha. So if someone's so you're not obligated to put, right, I think the Mishnah says you're not obligated to put signs of to demarcating orla trees on your property. Why? Because you know which ones are orla trees, so you don't have to know. So someone's going to come onto your property and they're going to steal trees and they're not going to know which ones are orla and which ones aren't. So yeah, you don't have to worry about them. That's not your problem. If they're going ahead and doing a sin anyways, so you don't have to go and bend over backwards in order to avoid it. I think it was a shir from Rav Asher Weiss on some topic, you know, like about like women that aren't married using the mikvah or something like that, right? That you don't. If somebody is going to be doing an aveirus anyways, you don't have to go out of your way to make it less of an avera, right? So that's what's going on. But so here, the tznuin would do that. But what do we see from this Mishnah? That it is possible to be poda things while it is still connected. He says, "Va'od," and not only that. The adkan lo amru atosos Rabbeinu Shimshon elabah he that's new and sheiv shar ladas kama achla over him v'sham mechubar in b'kim b'shuma aval hapod the perus karmo maniach hasal al pishlosha v'sham shivasim maniach hasamos va'omer kol anilkot mizeh mechula al hamos elu mikach lekach salim b'sela shapir dummy. Right? They've done fine. Right? If they bring empty buckets and they say until these buckets fill up, it's all mechula on this money. That's fine. This is the underlying part. It says the concern of the Rambam that we don't know what their value is until they're fully grown. He says, yeah, that's if you bring them to Yerushalayim. But nowadays, the Ivshar La Losam Mifnei Hatuma, the Dummy Pidyonam Hochim Leibud. But nowadays, where you don't bring it to Yerushalayim, and the money just goes to waste, therefore you don't even, therefore you're only poded it for a shava pruta, for a tiny amount. Malana, what do we care? Imein b'kiim b'shuma. If we don't have the exact amount, hilkach yichol niftosim ba'odim mechubarim. Therefore, you'd be able to be poded to them while they are still connected. So that is the psak of the Rambam. Continues on as that's the psak of the Beis Yosef. Seemingly, I'm not sure if he's going against the Rambam or he kind of says, oh, the Rambam would agree with me if the Rambam was talking about during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, not necessarily talking about now, but that is his thing. He continues on and quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, and he pushes that away. And then the next section on the next page, Reish Tzadi Tes, which is what. Yeah, so the bottom right is dealing with whether in Eretz Yisrael today you should try doing its value. And he says, no, Niftin shall show a prut of Ein Chilka ben Eretz Yisrael Chutzlaris. But the Rush disagrees. He says, no, we're not going to really figure out the exact monies, not neither in Chutzlaris nor in Eretz Yisrael. And then he also says, right, he says that this is all doable, even lechachila. Okay, so that is the that seems to be setting things up, at least how we do it in Eretz Yisrael nowadays. So if we go down, I was in Masifta today. They have so there they have a newer edition of the Shulchan Aruch. So I figured I'd give it. I've had a couple of of bad weeks of fuzzy copies here of the Shulchan Aruch. So I copied from their fancier schmancier edition. It's not the fancy schmancy edition. It's just fancier schmancier, in that it's they sort of reset the type, but kept the same tzuras hadaf of the regular Shulchan Aruchs. So if we go here on page, I put an extra page, page 8. So page 8, halacha, right? So sif vav. So it has our din. If he has perus revai, yeshalhem din meiser sheni l'chol davar. So perus revai of the fourth year, there is a din meiser sheni for everything. Uvizman habayis hayut srichim la losam Yerushalayim. And during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, you'd have to go and bring them to Yerushalayim to eat them there. O liftosam, or to be pulled to them and bring the pidyon to there. Right, v'heim mutarin miyad, and then the fruit would be mutar immediately after the redemption took place. But nowadays, she'ein yichol na losam Yerushalayim, where you can't go to Yerushalayim, podim osam achar sheyigmeru v'yitlashu v'yachol lifros liftos es kulam. You should be pod to them after they have finished growing and after they have come off. So wait a second, that was the shita of the Rambam. So v'yachol liftos. Let's just continue on a little bit more. That's what the Shach picks up on. He says, V'yachol lifto says kulam b'shavar pruta. And you can be poda all of b'shavar pruta. Afilu heim rabim v'yashil chapruta liyam hagadol. And you should throw the pruta out into the sea. O yishachkena v'yifrezena. Or you should crush it and spread it and throw it into the wind. Or throw it into the river. Achar shchikas yad until you, after you've already erased it. And you make a bracha, etc. So after the whole, so back to the previous page. After the whole presentation of the Beis Yosef, seemingly saying that you don't have to wait for the things to finish growing and for it to come off the tree, so here all of a sudden he just seems to quote the Rambam and says that you do need to do that. So what happened there? So comes the Shach there on the bottom of the page, number Yud Beis. Right, it comes to Shach Yud Beis and says that that's the language of the Rambam. He says, "Beis Yosef custom to lav dafka," but Beis Yosef says, "No, that's not specific." El yachol liftos l'chachila afilu b'mchorb. You could put it l'chachila even if it's connected. Kafari shalo yachol achil achi yislaki to the hedyatam perik baser. And he goes and quotes the rayos that were brought before. Now, I don't know why I didn't get through the whole thing here and see if he goes, why does the Mechaber not pass in that way? Meaning it's himself, right? It's the same Rav Yosef Karo who argued against the Rambam on the pages of the Beis Yosef that seems all of a sudden here to be ready to give in and say, oh, all right, we're going to pass like the Rambam here. I'm not sure why. That's just what he says. The Pisrei Tshuva seems to echo this, right? That Pisrei Tshuva on the bottom, and hey, he says Shizigmru v'Yitlashu. He says, look at the Shach and see the Shara Melech and Hilchos Gerushin. I'm not sure what that's about, but he says, see the Shach, meaning that we Paskin. Don't know why the Shulchan Aruch seems to, so as we backtrack on his seemingly pretty strongly held opinion that he had while learning that while going through that Beis Yosef. Okay, the last of this sif, here, I go to just another page of the Shulchan Aruch here. So the last of this sif suggests as follows, right? You make this bracha, O yifta peres shiyasu shava pruta, shehu echad mi lamed beiz b'meya kesef, shehu ashpiro otmanin, some kind of coin. Sheshokel tes zayin garine seora, which is the worth of 16 barley grains. Shehu revia derehim, not sure what that is, and the Ramah clarifies it by saying hamatbeah haragil bebedinos elu hachatzi viner shehu yoser mishum mishava pruta upodin alav, which is a little bit more than a shava pruta, and that's what they use for the pidyon. What is this? Where did he get that from? So it's the Truma Sedeshin. The Truma Sedeshin has this shaila. He's the one who puts out using this viner. Not sure why. I don't know why that's. Whatever coin that is of a little bit of value, I think more than a penny, but not more than a quarter. I don't remember exactly how to figure out what exactly the Shomer Pruta was, but some very small amount of money is what's done. But it is done, meaning this is done bizman hazeh, that people do are poda their revai onto coins, and then seemingly have to figure out a way to get rid of those coins. So, I mean, it's more of an issue with regards to Meiser Sheni than it is with revai, because with revai, you actually have to know that it's revai, and it's not necessarily that way. But certainly with Meiser Sheni, it does come up, and it's part of the Hafrashas Trumus Umeisers instructions that are on the Keystone K website include using a portion of a coin and then throwing the coin out with the rest of it and hoping that no one else ever finds it, because that coin does have Kedusha connected to it, and therefore, no one should use it. Yeah.
Well, I live in Israel. I was doing a similar procedure for Trumas and Maestros.
Right. Right. So. Yeah. No, it's the same. It's the same procedure. I think you use it less often for pet. Unless you're the farmer, you're not really going to be doing revai stuff on your own. The reason we're doing it with Revai and not with Trumas and Maestros is because Revai is in Simen Reish Tzadi Dalet, and Trumas and Maestros isn't until Simen Shud Lamed Aleph.
So it's the same thing, right?
Yes, no, it's the same idea, right?
Well, see, I never knew what to do with the coin, so I ended up bringing it back here, and then I lost track of it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Somewhere in my house or in this world is a coin, but whatever.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, hopefully it's bottled. It's bottled the b'matayim, I think.
Yeah,
they
didn't
bottle.
It's a quarter.
But yeah, so it's an issue, right? The what's it called? The Gemara says, I think in Krisos, that there one of the obligations for a ger is to offer is you have to bring a korban. So after the structure of the base of Migdash, so the first thing we're asked to figure out how that nowadays, where you can't offer a korban, we're still able to accept gerim. So that's the first thing that the Gemara has to figure out. And then the Gemara says, comments that right after the structure of the base of Migdash, the gerim, those people that converted then, it's a little hard to imagine how many people converted then, but they were told to set aside money, and they'll keep that money around for when the Mehera Yevana Beis HaMikdash, and this way they'll have the money set aside from their for their korban, and they'll offer the korban at that point. And then the Gemara says once they realize that the Beis HaMikdash isn't coming back so soon, they realize it was a michshal to keep those coins around, and therefore said, no, we're just not going to even do that anymore, and don't keep the coins around. So it is an issue. Those these coins have condition. They do suggest. I think when I was in YU, Rabbi Willig organized to go to the MTA lab and take and put the pidyon coins into some acid and allow it to dissolve. And that was
currency may not be legal.
What?
Yeah, legal is to destroy legal tender of U.S. currency.
Right, so maybe I'll erase this part of the tape. I think maybe he talked about doing it until he realized that it's illegal, and therefore I'm sure he didn't. wink, wink. All right, got to go pick up, do my rounds. I got two boys at night here tonight. So Yasher Koach and Mirz Hashem, we'll pick up next week.
Okay.